Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Bigfoot and Company. This is Dr. John. Hey, Matt Delf, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fantastic. It's been a wild and crazy day, but that's always a good thing. This is a checking in show. You and I are out and about doing a lot of things. I've got a couple of sighting reports I want to tell you about that you hadn't heard. And you were just recently at an event down there in Jessup, Georgia. Why don't you tell everybody about that? You were with our friend David Becerra.
Oh, yeah. Definitely is a great event down there in it's northern Georgia, the Bigfoot Museum Expedition Bigfoot. They have the course. They got their museum, and then they have the Rodney Adams and Thomas Shea from North Kentucky Bigfoot Research Group there doing a presentation, which was really great. They were on that show, Terror in the Woods, and they were showing a lot of their evidence that they had from their research that they've been doing. And they had a lot of interesting things. Got to meet up with a lot of friends, too. It was a great weekend down there. Great weekend.
Well, that's great. I know you always have a good time down there with David, and he has some programs about every week or every other week, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a lot of things going on, and you can go on to his page there and check it out on Expedition Bigfoot. But they've got speakers, all kinds of stuff always going on. He's got a lot of nice stuff in that museum, too. I mean, I was really impressed. It's not one of those roadside attractions. It's actually, you go in there, and, I mean, you got to spend some time. They've got some good tracks. They got the Bigfoot hand from Nepal that I believe is Jimmy Stewart that stole it or whatever whenever he was over there. And they've
really?
Got a display. Yeah, I think the scalp. They've got a lot of nice stuff. Sierra Sound, stuff from Bauk, Arkansas. They've got all kinds of track, cast. It's a really, really nice place. Really nice place.
Wow, that sounds good. Well, I'm looking forward to going down there. I think March 15th, Lyle Blackburn will be there. So I am certainly looking forward to going down there. So yeah, that's great. Now I've got a couple things came up on the radar, and this one was, they were very interesting. They come from Mary Joyce, and she runs the skyshipsovercashiers.com website. They got a lot of neat paranormal things that they talk about. They've talked about Planet X. They've talked about ghosts, UFOs, crazy things that go on up in the mountains of North Carolina. Well, now you and I both grew up in the mountains, so we both know there's a lot of crazy paranormal things up there, aren't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. Especially them cave systems and everything. It's hard telling what's in there.
I know. All right. Well, let me tell you first of all about this first story. And I'm going to read it, because it's a pretty good read, and I want some comments from you, okay? There's
okay.
a fellow that lives on the side of a mountain, okay? And he says, I just dozed off, but I was startled by a couple of good loud thumps on the outside wall of my house. I wasn't sure what had made the noise because I was afraid to go out, so I just stayed inside and listened. I didn't really hear anything else after a while, so I kind of dozed on off. And then I was awakened by another thump, and so I just decided to ignore it and go on to bed. Now, my house is at the base of a hill, and I always find rocks up against the house. So I just assumed some rocks had rolled down the hill, three or four of them, and that's what I had heard. So I was able to go back to sleep. Now, the next morning, I got a text message from my elderly neighbor, and she asked if I could come by her house and see if she had a tree branch or something that could be thumping against the side of her house, because it kept her up all night long. that was interesting. So she was about 500 yards down the hill from me, and I felt like it was unlikely that rocks could have rolled on down there and thumped on her wall and kept her up. So anyway, I decided to make myself a cup of coffee, and even though it was January, I was able to go out on my back porch because it was a little bit warm and the weather was mild. So while I was drinking my coffee, I heard what sounded like something walking through the woods to the side of my house. Thinking it might be a deer or some turkeys, I walked to the end of the deck to get a better look. And then I saw this thing. It was about 6 feet tall, and probably because I'm 6 feet two, I could check it against the trees that were out there. I had a pretty good guess. It was right around 6 feet tall. It was covered with hair, and it was walking upright, and it was no more than 20 yards away from me. But 20 yards is 60 feet, Matt, and that's not very far. So I wasn't wearing my glasses, the fellow says, so he couldn't really see the details, but it did not have a snout like a bear, and its arms were longer than a bear's, and it was walking like a human. The gentleman says he watched it for maybe about a minute as it was crossing behind his house, and then he figured he would see what he could do, so he yelled, "Hey!" It never looked at him, but it turned and ran straight up the hill on two legs, and after about 20 seconds, it was gone up in those woods. He was a little freaked out, not knowing what he saw, but he went on back into his house and got his clothes on, and he went outside. And he went to the side of his house where he heard those thumps the previous evening. And he noticed that the ground was packed down like something had been pacing around. He then decided he better go check on his neighbor. So he walked down to her house. And the ground on the side of her house where she'd heard the thumping, it was packed down as well. Now, he didn't really mention to her what it could be. He didn't want to get her frightened, but he knew what he thought he was sure he had seen and what had probably been thumping on the side of her house. Later on that day, he called a Bigfoot group in Asheville and was told he'd probably seen a local version of Bigfoot that really wasn't very tall. The fellow at the Asheville Bigfoot group, he didn't particularly say what it was, said the Indians had been seeing them for years, and the group had been meaning to come down and hunt for them, but hadn't had a chance. Well, unfortunately, it rained for a couple days, and it really washed away any of that evidence before they could come out. The gentleman looked for footprints, but he didn't see any more because it had just gotten wet, and there was a lot of mud on the ground. So, Matt, that's an interesting story that came out of the mountains of North Carolina. Have you ever had anything like that happen?
I've not thumping on the house. They've never been that close to the house, but what stands out with me on that report is you can definitely take out the bear theory, saying it was a bear if it went up the side of the mountain, if it went up on two legs. Now, a bear stand up on two legs, but usually they won't climb. It won't just climb up the hill on walking on two legs. It's
okay.
More likely Bigfoot, because that whole area is loaded. The North Carolina mountains, Tennessee mountains, to Virginia, down to Georgia. It's just like a big hotbed. Big hotbed, but that definitely would be going up on two legs, going up the side of the mountain. A bear ain't going to do that. It's going to forward and run up the side of the mountain.
Right.
Did they say how
okay,
long
well,
it happened?
No, it did not. I'll check with Mary Jason and see. But it was just an interesting story that she posted. The next story, this is really interesting. It's about Bigfoot rescuing a Civil War soldier. Now, there's a fellow who's a professor at a community college up in Eastern North Carolina, and he somehow managed to receive a copy of a letter written by a soldier from the Civil War days. And what happened? It said, the gentleman says this: I have a friend who's a community college instructor, and he's a published author. When I told him about my YouTube channel and what I put on it, because it's about Bigfoot and cryptids, his eyes perked up, and he told me he needed to read me something that he had. It was a letter he'd gotten while doing some research for a book, and it was loaned to him by a family of a particular Civil War soldier. The letter seemed authentic in every way, from the paper to the style of writing and everything. It was really a condensed memoir of the soldier's exploits during the war. It also talked about how he had become injured, and there were forest people who nursed him back to health. They were hairy. They did not smell good. Now, we need to point out that when he called them the forest people, this was before the term Bigfoot or Sasquatch was really in common use, which was in this century. So this would have been, if he wrote this after the Civil War, it would have been, he'd written it in 1865 or 1866, and that term was not used yet. In fact, I saw, I met a fellow yesterday who told me a story about Bigfoot sightings behind Shaw Air Force Base in Sumter, South Carolina. He's a native of Sumter County here in South Carolina. And he said they called them the hairy people. And this is some stories that have been around since the 1800s. And he said that there were people from Sumter County. There were military folks. There were lots of people who saw these hairy people. They were afraid of them. And they were there back behind the land the government had that ultimately became Shaw Air Force Base. So there is a reading of this letter. Now, I've put it up on Bigfoot and Company so everybody can take a look and click on it, and it will go to YouTube, and you can hear this story that was read from a letter by a Confederate soldier. So, Matt, have you ever heard Bigfoot called forest people or the hairy people?
Yeah, actually, I have a lot of people. It depends on the area, especially back in those days, because word didn't get around. They didn't have social media and, stuff like that to put out there. But and what's really interesting is there are sightings and areas, but each specific area had certain types of names. They called them the Tennessee and Tennessee. Called wild, the wood booger up in the Virginia area. It's not definitely common for them to call it the hairy people, the forest people. I know the Cherokee called it certain caves where the Bigfoot were up in the Smoky Mountains. They called it Ape Man Caverns. So, pretty interesting. Especially back then, because they didn't have nothing to gain or anything, any type of fame or anything from a story like that. And I'd say he must have been rescued, but I've heard reports of them actually helping people. The one I encountered didn't want to help me. He wanted to help me out of the woods is what he wanted to do. But
not you, Matt.
It didn't want to nurse me and help me. It didn't want me there. But I've heard lots of accounts where it said, Bigfoot has saved me, pulled me out of the water, pulled me out of the stream, the forest people. That's definitely a term used back in the day. Because a lot of people didn't know what they were. They didn't know how to classify them.
That's right. And Matt, what I'll tell you is I want you to come down to the Sumter, South Carolina area, and we will go out in that area because when we put on the South Carolina Bigfoot Conference, it's looking like it might be in Florence, South Carolina, and that's very close to Sumter. And your Sunday exploration, we could go out behind Shaw Air Force Base outside of the perimeter of what the military has marked out. So maybe you and I and some other interested folks can go out there prior to that conference. We'll be announcing that sooner than later. But I want you to go out there with me, and there are some interesting stories. I was glad to find some that were somewhat near, you know, somewhat near me. So if you will, we'll arrange a time and get you down here. We'll do some exploration down there behind Shaw Air Force Base. How does that sound?
Oh, it sounds great. You know, I'm ready to go out there. It's kind of interesting.
I know.
Whenever I've gone to the Georgia Expedition Museum there this past weekend, I was driving through, and it was Cherokee National Forest there, and it was like 58 miles into down there in southern Tennessee into the northern Georgia. No cell phone service. It was nothing but just wilderness, and I got that feeling in that area down along that mountain trip. You know how you can just get that feeling that there's something out there?
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop. I mean, it's hard for me to watch the road. I was watching the woods so much. And that whole mountain chain all up through there is about the same. But that area down there, I'm excited about getting down there for a Georgia conference. And I've got some good friends up there, too, that we're going to go out, and they know some hot spots. And I'm trying to get some evidence around that area, too.
That'll be great. Right. Now, everybody needs to remember that the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, it will be on the weekend of April 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Rabun County Civic Center in Georgia. Clayton's well up in the mountains. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a VIP session and music on Friday night. I got some special music I'm going to be working on this coming week when I go up to Clayton. On Saturday, we'll have the talks and vendors. And on Sunday, Matt will lead the Bigfoot Explorer Tour out in the mountains of Rabun County, Georgia. See what he can find and take other people out there. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Matt.
Yeah.
And I did want to say, pardon me?
I said it's going to be a great time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it really will be. I mean, for sure. Now, next week on Bigfoot and Company, we are pleased to have Tom Cantrell. Tom is the head, and he's the featured speaker for the Third International Society for Primal People. That's up in Washington State. And then that conference is in April. It's the first part of April in Washington State. But then he's going to be running one just like it first part of October in West Georgia. And I've been invited to come down there and talk and tell everybody about the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But Tom Cantrell is going to be our guest next week at 4 o'clock on Bigfoot and Company. So, Matt, you got anything else to share with everybody?
I haven't been able to do a whole lot of research out in the woods here since probably the past 2 months. I've got a trail camera out. But I'm excited to see what kind of pictures I put on my trail camera. Last time we had, like, I had 1,049 pictures I had to sort through. But for the most part right now, I've got a retreat that camera, but in the next 2 months, I'm definitely going to be in the woods. Hopefully, we will have some great stories on Bigfoot and Company on our show here. And like I said, I've got some great places I'm going to hit where there's been lots of activity reported. I've got some good friends in northern Georgia that want to help me out, too. And they're great. I mean, they're pretty good researchers themselves. I mean, we got a lot going on this going into this spring and summer. I'm excited about it. Excited
well, me too. It. Me too. Look forward to your stories. We got some more folks we're going to be talking about. Now, you remember that fellow Jackson Samuel from Australia, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, he and I have been talking, and he mentioned to me that they have the Bunyip down there. Everybody knows about it. It's a dangerous thing, and it's out there in the swamps. And it sounds a lot like Lizard Man. Sometimes it's got hair. Sometimes it's got scales. But it sounds just like my Lizard Man buddy from Lee County, where I run the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival. So, Matt, in a couple weeks, can I bring him on Bigfoot and Company to talk about the Bunyip and Lizard Man?
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. Nate, I heard over the weekend they was talking about a Lizard Man encounter. The Rodney Adams was talking about it during his presentation. They talked about where they're in northern Kentucky and southern Indiana there along the Ohio River, that they had reportings a while back of a Lizard Man that was around in that area. So need to
wow, that's
that
great. Yeah. If you would, please get me his contact information. I'll call him up because I'd love to talk to him about it. And because Jackson tells me that, well, they're all over the world. I don't know why in the States you don't just admit it like we do down here for Bigfoot. I said, well, I'm working on that. You know, got to start somewhere. So we're starting with the Lizard Man Festival. So, yeah, just give me their contact information and I'll get up with them. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Well, Matt, thanks a lot for being here with Bigfoot and Company. Today is just checking in with Matt and Dr. John. We will have Tom Cantrell next week, next Monday at 4 p.m. right here. And welcome to all the iTunes, Spotify, and Spreaker listeners. We appreciate you. Go to our website. Go to BigfootandCompany.com. It's also the same thing as ScaryCast.com. Listen to that, to the reciting of that letter from the Confederate soldier. And Matt, I'll see you next week, buddy.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
You take care.